heading into this last weekend of September. Bobby Hattie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Minor league season coming to an end. Arizona Fall League about to happen. Orioles have already clinched the playoff spot. Could get the number one wild card as soon as today. Still an outside chance of winning the East. But let's talk about all of that and more. Joins us every Thursday from OriolesHangout.com. Tony Pettit. Tony, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good. Doing all right. And Coby Mayo, Jackson Holliday, those two in particular, they got a taste of baseball life, a bitter taste at that, it seems. What was exposed? How do they reconcile themselves and get ready? And Holliday will be on the postseason roster, but going into spring training in next February, how do they both reestablish themselves as prospects, at least in regards to what the fans see, not the organization itself?
Yeah, you know, obviously their performance was, I mean, really the only words you can say is shocking, shockingly bad. I mean, I don't think anyone thought both of those guys would hit as poorly as they did at the major league level, you know, just because of their, you know, background in the minor leagues, what they did. You know, when you looked at the EVs down to AAA, I mean, everything kind of pointed to that they would have some success at the major leagues, and obviously both of them struggled badly. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting offseason for both of them. With Mayo, you know, he just really has this, you know, yanking pull uppercut swing that he's kind of morphed into a little bit more that I remember seeing when he was maybe in the lower minors, and I think it was working for him in AAA, and clearly they found the holes in the swing at the major league level. So there's going to need to be some adjustments in the off season. They're both very, very talented. People should not get too down on them. They're going to be very, very good major league players. I expect both of them to be guys that will play major roles in 2025 with the Orioles. Just, you know, first round wasn't a great one for them.
Now, in regards to last year's number one pick, Enrique Bradfield, how much is he impressed, improved, and are you feeling a little bit better about him now on September 26th, Tony, than say you were on April the 26th?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think what his performance at AA really kind of stepped it up for him. You know, sometimes guys have a hard time in the lower minors with the way pitchers are wilder, they're not around the plate as much, and when they get to AA, they start getting around the plate a little bit more, and sometimes you get those guys that actually hit better when they get to AA, and Bradfield was that guy. He was getting on a base, he was, you know, stealing bases, he plays a plus center field out there, you know, he has 80 level speed when you're looking at it from a scouting standpoint. I mean, he's a game changer when he's on the bases. He's still learning how to run the bases effectively. Sometimes he runs himself into outs, and sometimes he's just trying things out to see what works, what doesn't. So I think he'll calm some of that down, and I think he'll be an excellent player. So next year, yeah, I definitely expect that he might even get a year to might even be able to start at AAA. If he starts at AAA, you're looking at a guy that at some point, if he's doing well and there's a need, he could be up in Baltimore in 2025.
Tony Pantee, OriolesHangout.com, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, as he does every Thursday. All right, Vance Honeycutt, small sample size as a professional, this year's first round draft pick out of North Carolina. What's impressive, what's concerning heading into his second professional season next year?
Yeah, it's always hard to take a lot out of what you see in this small little area. You know, he was shut down for a while. He might have been rusty. I'm not going to make a lot of excuses. I mean, obviously the stats weren't very good. It was way too much missed, and that was the concern coming out of college and why he dropped on a lot of teams' radars just because of there was a ton of miss in the swing in the minor. So there's going to be a lot of need for adjustments for him. He's got the talent when you look at the power and you look at the speed, you look at his defensive abilities. This is a guy that has a lot of tools. It's just a little raw, especially with the hit tool. So we'll see. I think we'll have a better idea of who he is after the end of next season. He might be one of those guys when he gets up to maybe a little bit higher level. Maybe some of that will kind of turn around for him. But right now, he's got a lot of work to do in that swing.
Hey, Tone, when you watched Holliday in the minors and stuff, and he was playing shortstop, did he show a really good arm? Because, I mean, from second base, he throws a lot of lollipops, or is it, you know, I know he hurt his arm some down in the minors.
Yeah, no, he's never had a plus arm. The first time I saw him in AAA, I'm sorry, when I saw him down in the minors, like an A-ball, you know, the first thing I noticed was he didn't have a shortstop arm. It was the first thing I thought. He did get away. It looked like he threw well on the run. That was a plus for him. But he has a little bit of a long arm swing. And when you see guys with a little bit of long arm swing, they've really got to be able to gun it. And he doesn't have that. So I think early on I started saying this is going to be a guy that needs to move to second base if he stays in the dirt. With his speed, I've also thought that maybe a move out to center field might be something to give an idea, center field or left field, give him some options out there as well. I think there's some things he needs to work on. You know, second base, he does a lot of things not well. He doesn't have great hands. He doesn't have great instincts. He's not a great tagger. He's just not a very good defensive second baseman right now. And for a guy who's been playing as long as he has at a high level, even when he was a non-pro, I don't know whether those things are going to eventually come around. Perhaps they do. I'm not saying he doesn't have talent, but I just think that on the dirt, he's always going to have some limitations, and ultimately he might be a guy that they try on the outfield to see what that looks like.
Hey, Tone, now the Norfolk, they ended on Sunday. Minor leagues are done. What are the minor league guys doing now? Talk about the fall league. Who qualifies to go to that and stuff?
Yeah, right now most of those guys will go home. There are probably a couple guys up in AAA. They're probably down in Florida right now, and they're just keeping themselves active in case there's, you know, especially guys that are on the 40 man. I'm sure they're still keeping themselves active, being ready in case somebody goes down and they get that opportunity to play either at the end of the season or perhaps even be added to a playoff roster. Because as long as they've played before September 1st. On a 26-man roster, they're eligible for the playoff roster. So those guys are keeping themselves loose. The fall league has really kind of changed. You know, at one point, that was a big prospect league. When you look at the guys the Orioles sent this year, it's not a ton of prospects, really, that they sent. These are guys that needed some extra work, didn't get a lot of things, middle relievers down in AA. Probably the best prospect they sent out there was Creed Williams, the catcher. Who, you know, young guy, got good power, moved up to AA and held his own a little bit. He's young for his age. So there's still some hope there that Creed can be a guy that eventually comes up and can play. He's a catcher. I would say right now he's still got work to do as a catcher. He's short. He's not going to move to first base, so he's going to need to be a catcher. It's just not what it used to be. It used to be you would look down there and you would say, wow, they sent 3, 4, 5 good prospects. Now they, at least by the Orioles' ways, they don't seem to be going that direction.
Tony Pente, OriolesHangout.com, joins us every Thursday. Tony, appreciate the time as always. What's happening on the website as the playoffs start next week?
Yeah, you know, a lot of excitement down there where obviously everybody's talking about the playoffs and every game in the game thread is always an interesting place.
sure
but,
is.
it's the reactionary thread that they're allowed to be emotional all they want. Just they can't take it to the rest of the boards. You have to prove your points once you get to the rest of the board in the Major League Forum. And the Minor League Forum, of course, we'll be starting to do all of our scouting reports of the top 75 prospects in the organization.
All right, Tony, appreciate the time as always. Next Thursday when we're talking, hopefully the Orioles will have already finished off their first round opponent and they'll be getting ready for either the Yankees or the Guardians in the divisional round there.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
You got it. Tony Pente, everybody. OriolesHangout.com. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around. Talk about what happened in the world of sports last night, what happened historically with the Ravens and the Orioles. And a sad anniversary is today, and we'll remind you what it is coming up next here on the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bam.
Biddy and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Bob Haney, Biddy Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Time for the Whip Around. Talking about what happened in the sports last night and historically. How about the WNBA playoffs? As the Fever, they disappear. As the Sun beat them?
Yep.
Is the Sun? 87-81.
No, Connecticut. Is that the Sun?
The Sun, yes. Yeah. I just have the nicknames. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I'm an expert on what WNBA. But the Sun, Alisa Thomas, I know her, former Terp, 19-5-13, leading the way, pull away late as they beat Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. Win that one in two games. Caitlin Clark, 25-6-9 in the losing effort there. I did see on the highlights that she had someone booted out of the arena. Caitlin Clark, she was getting heckled. And then apparently reading the story this morning, she was the person, it was a dude, was allowed back in.
Oh, really?
Didn't LeBron get somebody ejected last year?
It's a lot of players that do that.
Yeah. Thee out! If you're, hey, heckling's part of the deal. I've been a drunken a-hole at many sporting events. But if you're courtside, I mean, they're staring right at your face.
You know, really?
If you're in row 49 in the section, you suck, man. But, yeah, so she had somebody come to it, but they were allowed back in. But her season, their season, the Fever, comes to an end. And I was talking to Robbie's first base, about this today. She's been a conversation point the entirety of the calendar year of 2024.
Yep.
Because in January, college basketball is going on. And I was playing on CBS national TV. Then you get in the NCAA tournament. They made the championship game, Final Four at least. Championship game, I think. They lost in South Carolina.
Yep.
Then the WNBA draft was like right after that. The WNBA season. Then the hubbub about her not making the Olympic team, which was 2 weeks. And now here we are at the end of September, and that's it. Even she said, nah, I'm not even going to pick up a basketball. Probably go play some golf for a while here.
Yeah, it's been a long year for her.
She brought a lot of attention to a league that, quite frankly, I had zero interest in.
No doubt. And Bob, I was listening to reading one of the ladies who, former player or whatever, said, no, the women's basketball has been on the rise, you know?
Yeah, whatever.
You know, okay. You know, Caitlin, it's going to be interesting to see the attendance and TV the next 10 days or 2 weeks.
I mean, you were a niche sport.
Yep.
And I'm not denying the skill level of these young ladies going out there kicking ass in basketball because they're badass. They're the best in the world. But, I mean, I got baseball season rolling, and I'm watching a WNBA game after an NBA season lasts for 73 months. Come on, man. I need to tap out a little bit. By the way, now that Caitlin Clark's going to be out of the news cycle for a bit, get ready for LeBron and Bronny.
Yeah,
that's
going to
slide right in nicely there. There you go. So end of the season. Also, Lynx beat the Mercury. They win that series 2-0. And I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably the last time I'll be bringing this up in the whip around. But I follow Alisa Thomas because she's a Terp, and it's all good there. Maryland, speaking of the Terps, at Indiana Saturday at noon for the college football game 5 already. Hoosiers are undefeated. They're 7-point favorites. The quarterback's been outstanding for them in Indiana. We'll talk more about it with Keith Cavanaugh tomorrow. But you mentioned it earlier, Vinny. We talked about it yesterday with Damon Evans, the AD. Maryland wins this game. Could catapult them into some pretty decent things. They lose. Hey, good luck getting bowl eligible. You know what I mean?
They lose, Bob. The SC game, it'll be all SC fans in the stands.
Still may.
That's true, too.
To begin with.
But the students will show up.
Well, the M will be full.
Yeah.
If the M's empty and the M is the M in the students, you can see the M, that's a bad sign for attendance for sure. But a must-win game for Maryland because they want to level up, get to that 9-win. Billy Edwards is playing great. Ty Felton's been incredible. Yep. They're not really running the ball as well as you thought
O-line,
they would.
The O-line's struggling.
Yeah, if they can get their running game going, we'll see. Special teams, a little shaky. But either way, you can hear Maryland, Indiana. We'll talk about it tomorrow with Keith. This day in sports history, Orioles history. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Nolan McGraw. Orioles history, 1974. 50 years ago today, Memorial Stadium. Listen to this one, Nolan. I think your dad might have been a kid because I was only 9. And I'm old. Orioles beat the Brewers 1-0, 17 innings. Bob Oliver got a fielder's choice grounder that scores Bobby Grich to win the game. But Jim Palmer pitched 12 shutout innings.
Damn!
Didn't even get the win! 12 innings Jim Palmer pitched. Grant Jackson got the win. Orioles on their way to the AL East 50 years ago today, winning 17 over the Brewers, who, young listeners, were in the American League at the time. 2012, make it all about me, my wife, and my daughter were at this game. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Steve Molesky, because me and Slack and Jim Ducat were doing BBT at Pickles. We were on the second floor at this time. I was like, I'm taking this one off because I'm going to the game. Well, how about Chris Davis and Manny Machado both hitting 2 home runs each? Mm-hmm. How about Nate McLeod, Jim Thome, and Mark Reynolds going yard? How about the Orioles beating the piss out of the Blue Jays 12-2 on their way to the wild card? Yeah. I was there, and I had a burger at Pickles. It was delicious then.
Did you have the cheeseburger the other night?
I did not. Nah, I was in a Mick Ultra mode. You know what I'm saying? 2023, a year ago today, Oriole Park Cannon Yards. Gunnar Henderson led off with a homer. Kyle Bradish won 8 strong 3-hit innings, made it stand up. Cano got the save, 1-0. Orioles over the Nats. Ravens history, 2010, M&T Bank Stadium against the Cleveland Browns. I don't remember this one, Nolan. You might. Joe Flacco threw 3 touchdown passes to Anquan Boldin. Do you remember that game?
I was at that game. There you go.
Let's make it all about us.
Three touchdowns for Boldin. I remember that well.
24-17. Ravens beat the Browns to improve to 2-1 on the year. And sadly, hard to believe it's been a year, but Baltimore legend, baseball legend, just a legendary person passed away, but this guy.
The pitch is hit high and deep to left field. The game is over. Brooks Robinson with a 3-run homer. And believe it or not, the kids from Baltimore and the veterans from Baltimore win tonight 6-5 on a Brooks Robinson home run.
A 3-run walk-off pinch hit homer for Brooks Robinson off Dave LaRoche, the late great Bill O'Donnell. On the call, 1977, that was Brooksy's last home run of his career. The Orioles in 77 were expected to stink. They lost Bobby Grich, lost Wayne Garland, Reggie Jackson to free agency. They were picked and finished 4th in the division. They wound up winning 97 games and almost overtook the high-priced Yankees. But Brooks Robinson passed away a year ago today at the age of 86. So celebrating Brooks Robinson, we always will here in Baltimore, a true legend. And if you knew him, you met him, whatever, he was a great person, great player. Brooks Robinson, he was aces, man. But Brooksy passed away a year ago today. When we come back, a guy that knew Brooks Robinson, Mike Bordick, like Brooksy, an Oriole Hall of Famer. Talk about the Birds. Are they in the domes of the Yankees? They're 8-4 against New York. They're slapping them around at Yankee Stadium in particular. I think somebody's getting plunked because Juan Soto didn't like the ball being thrown anywhere near him. So we'll talk to Mike about that. Then a funhouse trip with Mr. Electricity, Nolan McGraw. And then news from the nest. Oh, do we got some stuff for you. We got Justin Tucker talking about Justin Tucker problems. Yeah. And Lamar Jackson talking about the Bills. And not liking the way the things closed out for them, even though they won this past Sunday against Dallas. Vinny, Haney, Nolan, it's Total Request Thursday here on The Fan. Our colleague on BBT, he's an Oriole Hall of Famer. He is the one and only Mike Bordick. Bordy, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Bob. How are you, man?
Doing all right and watching this Oriole offense over the last couple of nights. And we started to see signs of it in that finale on Sunday against Detroit that, hey, it's starting to look like it did in the first 2.5 months of the season when they led the league in runs and homers and OPS and all that good stuff. So how much more comfortable, confident, Mike, are you in the offense than you were, say, a week ago?
Oh, my gosh, a lot better. Thank goodness Westberg, Urias, and now Mountcastle are back in this lineup. I think it makes everybody feel a little bit more comfortable and confident with this offense. I mean, my gosh, they were stagnant, to say the least, for the last 2 months. And I think everybody's kind of breathing a sigh of relief on a couple fronts. First of all, the season's coming to an end. They're guaranteed to be in the postseason. And I think they're still playing hard because they have something to play for. That home field advantage for the wild card, I think, is going to be really important for this team. So, yeah, the offense is starting to click. It should make everybody feel a lot better. And definitely just the body actions, the way guys are talking now, how quickly things change. It just seems like everybody's confident because everybody's contributing.
Mike Bordick joining us here. But what about also offense? We talk about that defensively, how things may have tightened up a little bit, especially in the infield with the return of those three players.
Yeah, and in my opinion, that was probably the most important thing. I mean, you're not going to go very far if your defense is shaky, unstable, just giving way too many opportunities to the opposition. And Westberg and Arias definitely solidify that. Mountcastle as well as at first base. And I think what you see is like a player like O'Hearn, I just think the fact that Mountcastle came back and was nearing coming back has helped him relax a little bit. A lot was thrust onto his plate with the responsibility of playing first base. I think he was really happy in the role that Brandon Hyde put him in as like a part-time defensive player, but master against right-handed pitching. And he was thriving there. And I think they just put him in, and he was a little bit overexposed there at first base. So I think he's more comfortable, and it kind of shows up. I mean, last night he got a couple knocks, the night before a couple knocks. And, of course, he's been on a nice little tear as well.
Now, I don't want to get Mike into any absolutes here, but the Orioles have kind of had the Yankees number last couple of years. This year especially, outside of that last series before the All-Star break where the Orioles walked them off on that Sunday, they're winning, and at Yankee Stadium, they're kind of clobbering them. Now that the Orioles are back to close to full strength, Grayson Rodriguez isn't coming back, the news that came out yesterday. Do you think maybe, and we talked about it during the season, I mean, they were throwing at the Orioles, they were trying to dust things up, trying to get Baltimore's attention. Do you think we're going back to what things were like, say, in mid-June when the Orioles were the bullies and the Yankees were getting picked on? We might be flipping to that once we get into October.
Well, it would be nice. I know that the Orioles have played incredibly well in their division, and they have just beat down the Yankees. And when I watch them play the Yankees, it stands out how much better the Orioles are than them. I mean, in every capacity. Defensively, every time they play the Orioles, they make errors. They make base-running blunders. They do just stupid stuff. The Yankees actually look like the young, inexperienced team. And, the Orioles turn their game up, man, and they play some really good baseball. And when they beat down the Yankees, they really beat them down. I mean, it's like they're relentless, but I love it, too, because they just want to keep the foot on the neck and keep on it going. And it was nice to see the offense, come together. I know we always talk about, the inconsistencies and how, oh, my gosh, we rely too much on the home run, but they didn't need it last night. They just pounded out just a ton of hits.
Hey, Bordy, will Hyder have like some decisions to make maybe during the playoff? If, let's say, McCann is still hitting the ball well and Rutschman's still struggling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Vinny. This is stuff that definitely has been talked about already. I mean, yeah, the playoffs are kind of a rebirth. But you got to go with what the successful mix is. And McCann has played a lot, and he's been really valuable for this club, both defensively and offensively, coming up with big hits, while Rutschman continues to kind of search and find some more consistency there. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you see, them just keep doing what they're doing. I think now that everybody's healthy again, it seems like that's when they're at their best, when they're able to match up a little bit better. I know Brandon Hyde feels a lot better about his game because when he starts doing these matchup things, the bench is incredibly strong. And, in the postseason, it's going to come down to a lot of those matchups because bullpens are used so often.
Speaking of the bullpen, what kind of faith do you have in the Orioles bullpen going into the playoffs?
Well, you know, all season long we've said that that might be the Achilles heel, and sure enough, it has shown up as that, and just incredible inconsistencies out there. But, you know, there are obviously some bright spots, and some guys out there have shown some brilliance. I think they have a nice complement of different arms out there. They've got the power lefties. They've got, you know, some sinker ballers, some guys with some big right arms too. So, yeah, I mean, I don't feel as confident as I have in the past with some, you know, back ends of the bullpen, because, like I said, I just think bullpens are so important. But I think there are a lot of really good arms that have had success. And, you know, once a bullpen gets hot, man, and that's what we really hope. And there have been guys that have stepped up and I think done a nice job here recently out in the Orioles bullpen. So it'll be fun and interesting, and let's hope some guys get hot and have a lot of success throughout the postseason, because Brandon High will run with them for sure.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, this evening at 6, with Mike, Ryan Ripken, and Tim Barbalay's getting you ready for the finale against the Yankees. I've made a prediction, Mike, real quick, because Soto kind of side-eyed Cologne with the knuckle curve coming in at about 3 miles an hour, and he made it all dramatic. Then he was glaring at him after he grounded out to second, et cetera, et cetera, that they're going to throw it in Oriole. Because the Orioles, as we just talked about, putting a foot up their rear end, they're starting to get domed up a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and guess that somebody takes one, maybe Moo Man between the 1 and the 7, or Gunner again, because they've been picking on them all season long.
Yeah, well, you know what? And then if that is the case, and here we are at the end of the season, both teams are in the postseason. If the Yankees want to go ahead and play that trash baseball, and the Yankees have been, because they're outplayed and outmanned and outmatched all season long by this Oriole team, if the Yankees stoop that low again and hit another Orioles player, I would hit back-to-back guys right out of the gate and go ahead and take your fine and let these guys know that it's over. You guys are done. The Orioles are the team in the East. You guys just happen to have a bigger payroll. And just send a message like that. I mean, you got to keep standing up for yourself and not letting the Yankees push guys around, especially the Orioles in the East.
There you go, Mike Bordick. I'm loving every minute of that. Bordy, appreciate the time as always. We're listening tonight at 6 o'clock.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bordy. There's Mike Bordick. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from Justin Tucker. The hell's going on with this guy? And then we're going to hear from Lamar Jackson. He wasn't real happy with the way his team played in the fourth quarter against Dallas. Now looking ahead to Buffalo. Ravens 2.5-point favorites over the Bills. Got buy or sell coming up at 12:15. Where's that late week money? And then Vic Carucci, NFL Network Radio. He's based in Buffalo. Talk about the Bills exceeding expectations, I guess, at 3-0. NFL lunch, we got film breakdown of the Bills defense. All right, offense outside of Allen might not be concerning enough, but how about that D? Stay tuned. Find out in about an hour. But let's get a phone call in before the Funhouse. Let's get Kai in Reisterstown. Kai, what's up?
What's up, Vinny? Haney, what's up, fellas?
What's
How
up,
doing,
Kai?
Man?
Good, man.
Hey, I haven't talked to you, Haney, since the fight, man. you've been out, man. I feel like we had some catching up to do.
Yeah.
But I do love Danny Garcia. Always been a classy guy, man, but that fight was tough to watch. Two division champ. No debate. Bob, is he a Hall of Famer?
Danny Garcia?
Yeah.
He probably gets in sooner or later. Lara's probably a lock now, even though he's, I don't know, he hadn't fought Garcia in a couple of years. To see him, though, kind of just tanking on the stool, that was rather disheartening. Hey, but what about last Saturday, old Joshua getting the old sleepy time again?
Oh, I think he need to retire, man. Go ahead and hang it up, man. I don't see Joshua coming back off of that, man. That was crucial right there. And how about Berlanga? I mean, he showed me some grit, man. And he's fighting Canelo.
Yeah.
I know it's not moral victories, but he get a moral victory from me in terms of being able to come back and have another title.
But
shot.
He seemed to get charged up to fight after he got hit. Then he got mad. It's like he wasn't initiating the confrontation. But yeah, good couple of weeks of boxing for sure.
Hey, Vinny, look, man, moving on to the next game, because I got a lot to talk about, but the game's been already passed, so I'm going to move on to Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
I think your analysis was spot on, Vinny. Only thing I will add to their offense, Dalton Knox. He's a sneaky, first down, move the chains type of guy. Of course, they got Kincaid, like you said, like you mentioned, but Dalton Knox is the guy that kind of, he don't get that many catches and targets, but he always catch the ball when they need. It's like when they need that first down. So I think we need to see more of Simpson this game instead of having the DBs out there and take Simpson out. I mean, we need more Simpson to cover the tight ends. I think offensively, I think we're good. I think we just run it down their throat, give a little play action. I think the offensive line, the cohesiveness coming together a little. So I'm expecting our offense, if our coordinators can make the right adjustment, in-game adjustments, I think we'll be fine, man, as long as we don't just beat ourselves up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
right, thanks,
to
God.
Me, with Simpson, Bob, I mean, he runs 4.4. I mean, what – and he's 240 pounds. What perfect guy to be the spy-type guy for Josh Allen?
And Kai made a good point. I mean, Kincaid's kind of become the number one tight end, but Knox, he was kind of a security blanket guy for Josh Allen previous season.
No doubt, no doubt. And, I mean, they'll throw – those guys are going to – they're going to run the little Y-stick routes and catch a little five-yard route and, you know, and hope that it turns into some yak yards. That's what they're going to want.
Pretty old Nolan McGraw in here. Quick draw. How you feeling there?
Feeling good. You know, it's no secret that the Ravens have been penalized quite a bit,
especially offensively.
I saw this interesting graph or chart here on Twitter. This is from Joseph Hefner on Twitter. Ravens have been penalized the most in the league. 31 penalties against them, 278 total yards worth of penalties. That ranks dead last in the league. Now, when you start getting into the disparity, how many flags are thrown against the opposition compared to the Ravens, that's where some Baltimore fans might take exception. We're talking net penalties here. Minus 16 just in penalties alone. Penalty yardage, minus 174. I mean, that's a hefty disparity through 3 weeks. Mind you, only three games, already minus 174 penalty disparity yardage on the season.
You know, number one, you played Chiefs, who, you know, referees take care of. But, I mean,
11 against 12.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, a lot of those defensive calls, you know, I mean, some of them have been questionable. Like, the ones that were, like, stupid to me was the Ronnie Stanley ones. I mean, that got the Ravens started off on the wrong foot from the get-go. But you got to clean them up. I mean, if they're calling whatever they're going to call, you got to clean up and you got to know what penalties are going to be being called by what officiating group. I mean, like Wiggins gets two. You know, I mean, he's a handsy guy. I mean, that's what he does. Even Harb said he's a handsy guy. He was a handsy guy in college, which means he likes to grab jersey. And the dude's probably one of the fastest guys in the league, and he still wants to grab jerseys.
That's what they used to call me in high school, Handsy Haney.
Oh. I'll bet.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Well, real quick to the
Come
Chiefs.
Come here, sister. I mean,
the nun.
I'm talking.
Oh, dear God.
I'm my sister. Yeah. And I'm from Baltimore now, West Virginia.
Well, now
next.
Anyway.
Father. It's Terry Bradshaw.
Father, keep your hands off me. Yeah,
Father Nelson. Half Nelson, full Nelson, whatever. Go ahead now. Go ahead.
The Chiefs. So everyone thinks they get all the calls, you know, watching their games. It certainly seems that way. Their disparity here, they are one of the more favorable outcomes in the league. They rank eighth. But only plus 5 in penalties, plus 37 yards. Not as lopsided as I would have thought. The number one team in disparity is actually the Raiders, probably benefiting from playing the Ravens there, but plus 126 for them in penalty yardage difference.
Oh, that'll change. But the thing with the Chiefs, Norm, is when they're critical penalties, they get those.
For sure.
We funhousing, or are we going to bypass it?
Well, it's already 56. We'll hold off.
All right, we'll come back. News from the Nats. Going to hear from Justin Tucker. He's got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
A lot of people worried about old Justin Tucker, future Hall of Famer. Lamar Jackson, future Hall of Famer himself. He's trending in that direction big time. Talking about the Cowboys. But look ahead, most importantly, to Buffalo coming on Sunday night, M&T Bank Stadium, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, live from Brew Brothers, starts at 5 o'clock. Me, Ken Wyman, and then Benny, Tim Barbalays, Cordell, Mike Preston, getting you ready. Hey, the Bills trying to send a message in Baltimore. Can they get it done? Can the Ravens get back to 500? An important game for sure.